To the episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. And join me today is Wario Will.
I can't believe it today. That presentation, Daddy Sakura, you have done it again. And oh my lord, Sephiroth. Jeez Louise, he is so much fun. I cannot wait to talk about him later on tonight.
And of course, Talia Siler.
Yes, I am here. And yes, I agree, Will. Sephiroth is so much fun. I think this is the best DLC they've ever done.
I do have to go and have a bone to pick with you, unfortunately, Tyler, because I remember in one NEP pod post, you said you didn't recognize Sephiroth's one-winged angel theme when the trailer hit.
This was in the chat that we were going to discuss this later, but for the folks out there, I hate to admit it, I do. I'm usually the guy who says, oh, I knew it right away. I did not know it. I had no idea. My buddy who I went to visit last week was very excited about it. And he said, do you want me to tell you who it was? I was like, no, let me guess. Like, give me a hint. He's like, it's a sword character, a highly requested sword character. And I was like, oh my God, I have Lloyd from Tales of Zillia, or from Tales of Symphonia. So I just kept guessing wrong. And then he's like, oh, yeah, watch the trailer and you'll know who it was. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I had no idea. And now looking back, it seems obvious, but I would have never known it because I just never got that far in Final Fantasy VII, which means I never got past the third hour.
I mean, to be fair, the one-winged angel from Nobuo Uematsu is pretty iconic. It's hard to miss it, honestly.
It is, but you know what? I think I've heard it before. Like, you know, I never was in the Final Fantasy world. Like, that was
it's
never
currently
my
in three
thing.
Renditions. How the heck you missed it?
Well, hold on. You gotta acknowledge that we don't play the same games. Like, for example, I'm pretty sure the first time I really, like, really heard One Winged Angel was because of Death Battle. Because they did him versus Virgil, and of course they're going to play the Sephiroth theme, like, 10,000 times. So, and I, like Tyler, did start to play Final Fantasy VII, the original version, but I never made it to where Sephiroth really showed up. So, if I didn't hear it then, I have never watched Advent Children. I haven't seen these other videos about Sephiroth's glory, but I recognized enough of him, like, wait, isn't that Sephiroth's music? So, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, it's Sephiroth's music. I didn't know.
Thank you, Todd. I was unexpected.
Just speaking the truth, that's why I'm the host. Okay, but overall, Tyler, since you weren't here last week, what was your real thoughts, especially now that you had a week of process, that we have Sephiroth in the game alongside Cloud?
So my first thought was, like, this character definitely deserves to be in the game. It took me back immediately to, like, the pre-launch hype where we felt like it was going to be a heroes and villains theme, which sort of ended up coming true, not totally, but that made the game feel more complete in that this legendary villain is there. Now, I wasn't excited, like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to play Sephiroth, because as noted, I just did not ever play Final Fantasy. It just was never in my world. But I understood why he was in, and I was happy with Veal. They could have done much worse. That was my initial impressions. My impressions after playing it have changed very much for the positive.
Go on.
We'll talk about that and what have you been playing,
okay,
I would imagine.
But yes, because
that's what I've been playing.
Because we did the Game Awards last week and just did a smaller recap show, we haven't gotten to talk about, you know, the games we've been doing, and of course the news has been going on, so we're getting all into this today, and of course the highly controversial topic that has been sweeping the gaming world and probably will until 2077. But we're to start off, of course, let's get with what have you been playing? And Tyler.
Okay.
Since you weren't here
now,
last week, go ahead.
I will tell you what my thoughts are on Sephiroth. So actually, you know what? I will start with the first thing that I've been playing, which was the Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light, the original release. I ended up just redeeming some eShop points to buy it. And, like, I love retro games. I love Fire Emblem. I love gaming history. I know this was made for me. I have had a blast with this game. I definitely, like, they were very true to form with the original, like, the speed-up option. My biggest complaint is that when you make the game run at times two speed, the music also runs at times two speed. So the, like, nice chiptunes become, like, this frantic, just cacophony of awfulness, and that kind of drags the experience down. But definitely enjoying that. If you like old games and you like Fire Emblem and you like gaming history, you'll like this. If you don't like any of those three, you might not be as into it. You definitely won't be as into it. Okay, on to Sephiroth. This character, I think he's top tier. Like, I feel like he's a top tier character. He is so much fun to use. The range is ridiculous, as you would expect. The power is ridiculous, and his projectiles are all insanely useful. I love his side B where he charges it up. It's like almost like Joker's thing where he like snaps his finger and he shoots this little beam at you. And the longer you charge the beam, the more these three like balls of energy appear around your character, and they'll home in on you and hit you after a certain amount of time. So like, it's just this doom. It creates this sense of doom for your opponent when they see the orbs flying around them, and they can dodge, but as long as you know the timing on it, if they dodge, you'll be able to punish them anyway. So it's really just a great death trap of a move. His design, phenomenal. The music that they added for Final Fantasy, because originally they only had two songs, which was a disaster. They added 9 songs, which is not crazy compared to what they've done in the past, but it's good. It's definitely good. And the 4 remixes that they added are great. I love Aerith's theme. It's a beautiful song, and perfect for battling. His stage is great too. It's not a gimmicky stage. What's going on in the background is really cool. Sakurai explained it's the ending scene of Final Fantasy VII. And I think this is one that, like, if you're like me and you don't like gimmick stages, guaranteed to like. I think it'll be competitively legal on the pro circuit. Everything about him I love, and he's my type of character. I love the sword characters. I'm definitely a zoner. He has like the sweet spot at different parts of his blade, so you can set all that stuff up. But he's great. He is really good. I think Joker, because he's so fast, is probably still the best DLC character released, probably. But there's a real, and I'm not sure how good Min-Min is. Like, Min-Min might be better too. I'm really not sure how good she is, but Sephiroth is one of the best characters in the game, and he might be my favorite. Like, he's new, so right now he's my favorite to play. He is really, really cool.
I agree. It was just kind of funny because when you said Joker, because again, Joker was revealed in VGAs, and now Sephiroth also got revealed at the VGAs, which in consensus, like, anything that's revealed at the VGAs seems to be the most awesome character ever. So it's kind of funny coincidence in that part. And yeah, just how Sephiroth plays is just, he is very fun to play. And I can't help but wondering, because like, since you also like the main Marth as well, and again, Marth has that sweet spot far distance game as well, so I think that's kind of the reason why you kind of resonate with Sephiroth.
Oh, definitely. He's more like Ike than Marth.
Really? I was actually saying he was more like Marth than Ike, because he's a precision swordsman, because you know, like, where you hit the blade matters, and you know, aiming the blade is important. I thought that was more Marth than Ike.
Yeah, he's a lightweight, but he's slow, and his moves are slow, and he hits like a truck. So he feels more Ike-like to me. He's definitely his own thing, because even like Marth and Ike, both a lot of their sword moves have like a swoosh to them, where like they'll go in an arc. Sephiroth's up air is like that. It's just like, it's such a great move. But he's also more stabby, like, so he kind of keeps things more linear. And I guess in that way, it's kind of more Marth-like as you're spacing, but he felt more like Ike to me. Very unique. I would say it's hard to compare anybody.
Sephiroth's style is definitely one of the more unique ones. I mean, taking comparison to like with Cloud, it's just like Cloud has his limit breaks, while Sephiroth has like similar stats, like the Terry KO meter, as like he's pretty much in similar states to Terry in that regard. But yeah, everywhere we're going to Sephiroth, again, he is powerful. It's just, again, he's lightweight, he's bigger, he's pretty much is 7 feet tall, and just everything is pretty much is direct straight from source material, which is always appreciated from Sakurai.
Yeah, I still love the fact that they revealed Sephiroth like right at the beginning of the Game Awards. They're like, let's not beat around the bush. Here's the Smash Brothers character. Everything else is, you know, complimentary.
Yeah, I thought yes. You might be right when you said there might be two characters. I was like, whoa, that
maybe
was quick.
I was hoping. Yeah. Oh well.
Until next year.
All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing besides Sephiroth? But yes. Tell us about Sephiroth anyway.
Yeah, just to compliment Marvel with Sephiroth. Yeah, like, also during Sakurai's presentation, like, he also announced the Sephiroth challenge with easy, medium, and hard, very hard mode, which, yeah, I'm just, like, really impressed of how people have managed to cheese Sephiroth so much, like, even to kill him in 7 seconds because of, I think it was, well, either be with Ike or Mario. Like, they see people cheesing Sephiroth in 5 to 7 seconds in very hard mode and unlocking him right then and there, which, jeez Louise, Smash fans are crazy. But yeah, just on my playthrough on very hard, I was just like fighting him head off of Cloud Advent Children mode, just doing his Amano as usual. And yeah, just playing Sephiroth is just, he is very fun to use. Like, again, big guy, long sword, what more do you need? And yeah, just he's just so much fun to play. And aside from Sephiroth and the Sephiroth challenge, I actually did my first run of Hades and gotta have to go beat Hades up. Like, was it the true ending was 10 more times or was it 9 more times, Tyler?
You have to beat it eight or nine times total, so 8 more.
Eight more times. Okay, so I still had to beat not 8 more times, but yeah, like finally beat Hades on my first run of Hades. So,
Was poorly worded, Will. We'll put in our group chat, I beat Hades first run, first try, or something like that. And I was
grammar.
I'm skeptical.
Yes, poor grammar. I admit, that was my bad. That was my bad. Yes, damn semantics. I know. Yes.
I had to resist the urge to go, hey, Tyler, get good.
Right? Well, I'm glad you did because, you know, we quickly got to the bottom of it. But. Yeah.
Yes, semantics be damned, semantics. But yeah, so just finally beat Hades the first, and I'm surprised I actually beat Hades on my first try. Jeez, the semantics. And yeah, like doing with the spear and finally meeting Persephone, it's just like, okay, I can see why people like this game. And I honestly thought there'd be like four, like, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, like I thought it was going to be like 4 zones, but I'm really surprised it's just only 3 major zones. So that didn't find a lot for Silver Super Giant Games. So yeah, I definitely see why people like Hades. I'm part of the fan, so I can't wait to once I come back into it once I'm on Smash Brothers. So overall, it's been great. Of course, naturally, Fire Emblem Heroes with the recent Christmas banner, which. I am jealous. I am very jealous of that duo here of Sanaki and Altina. Jeez, I want her that granted advantage. But yeah, but I digress. Overall, yeah, let's continue on with Fire Emblem Heroes and another season of Loki's Pond. I forgot that mode. Loki's
Pond, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been doing that as well. So overall, it's been quite busy this week. So I'm happy.
For me, I too have been playing Sephiroth. Oh, wait, no, I haven't. Nope, sorry. I haven't gotten the DLC pack, and I even if I got the boss challenge, I couldn't unlock him anyway, so whatever. But I'll be getting him eventually. I have, of course, been playing Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity.
Right.
Which I still have not beaten because of timing and such, but I have gotten, like, I'm pretty sure I'm, like, at the final level, but I'm doing a completionist run, kind of, sort of, try and get it as many things as possible. And I'm still trying out all the new characters, which I will still not spoil for those who have not. Gotten everybody, including maybe Will. I don't know where he is. So,
besides from getting the fairies, that and after one more character, which is you beat him at a shrine, but that's it. I just won't slow there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's more to come, but I reviewed the game for the site and I gave it a 4.5. I feel confident in that rating because it's just really fun. I mean, for short bursts and you know, even like I even be doing like 2 hour. Grinds just to try and get everything. It's fun. It never feels overbearing. It never feels overwhelming. And when you hit that character that you just really work well with, it's awesome. Like, for me, my favorite characters are Link, Mipha, Teba, sorry, and certain other characters, and I'm still learning. Like, I want to do all the side characters because, or sorry, all the side missions because I want to learn all these new characters. And even though, like, some, like, the Great Fairies, I will never touch again. Like, it's bad. Like, I can't with the fairies.
Yeah, she's kind of fun, but again, you're a big target. That's the thing, and you're gonna get hit so many times. So yeah,
and because you swap out between the fairies, it's like, you know, what attack am I actually doing? And I thought Hestia was bad, but no, the game is really fun. The story is so deep. Like, it's, I won't spoil it for Tyler over here, but it's deeper than any of us ever expected, and like, they touch on things that I think Breath of the Wild could not do, in all fairness, because of certain things and how they play out. But it's really good, and it's already a big hit, as we noted. And we actually got a thank you from Nintendo for our review. Sadly, we did not make the accolades trailer, probably because we, you know, had to wait to get the copy. Just saying. But it was still a really fun game. I'm really glad I got it, and all my worries that we had leading up to this are just melted away, and I'm sure that the ending is going to be something special whenever I actually get around to it. So, yeah. Although I can say with absolute confidence, that unlike a certain other couple of people on this podcast, it won't take me, like, oh, I don't know, 6 months to a year to beat this game so I can finally talk about it.
But it did take you more than... What has it been since Sephiroth launched? Like 3 hours? 3 hours Sephiroth and play that. So, you know.
I'm just saying
a bunch of excuses from you.
You don't want to hear my excuses. Oh, no, you do not. Besides, like, when I do get the second DLC pack, Tyler, I can promise you this. I'm never touching Minecraft Steve.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if I'll ever touch him again either, honestly. Like, again, he should have been in the game. It's a good character pick, but I did not like the way he played at all. Unlike Sephiroth.
Funny as well in the dynamic and Sakura presentation. Again, we went from Minecraft Steve to Sephiroth, which, like, again, two opposite extremes. It's like, holy moly. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But that's the thing. Like, that's what actually bothers me about Minecraft Steve. Like, if they did this. How am I going to say this? If they did this to maybe start, like, this was the first DLC character, like, just to shock everybody, like you can't predict who's going to be here because it's Minecraft Steve. I could have allowed that. But they started out with Min Min, and then they brought in Minecraft Steve, and now there's Sephiroth! Like, there is no tier here. It is literally...
No, well, they closed with Byleth in the first one. Now, you know, I love Byleth, love how he plays, I love Three Houses, all that stuff. Come on, that's not the character you close with. You close with Banjo-Kazooie, like, the most anticipated character, arguably, like, out there.
I agree with that to an extent, but I also acknowledge why it was Byleth, because Fire Emblem Three Houses really took off. And everyone was, like, really happy with how the game played and how it's the best.
I don't totally agree.
Game.
No, I agree with that, but I don't agree with the idea, because that game came out in June or July, and Byleth released, and I think end of January, early February. Like, he could have been the September release, which Banjo was. Banjo came out in September. They definitely could have, you know, gone Byleth, Terry, Banjo.
I know he's, like, a gaming classic or whatever of the modern generation. It's just when I think of Min Min, which was, like, a personal request by the creator of ARMS, and then Sephiroth, who's Sephiroth, you know, it's like, there's no comparison. It's not even close.
You're completely right. You're completely... I don't even disagree with what you're saying, that they should have done it in a different order. Like, I think that that's true. They definitely, like, just to build the anticipation on a purely, you know, on that... pure level, like, yeah, it would have been smarter to hold Sephiroth for the end. I don't know, we'll see who's left, right? Because Sephiroth to me was not super hype. Like, definitely I understood why everybody else was hyped, and I was slightly hyped. But we already had Final Fantasy character in the game. He was definitely, it wasn't super hard to guess him, even though I couldn't do it for some reason. But yeah, and like, I'm happy with the second DLC pack so far.
Well, overall,
like, Min Min,
yeah, because
cool,
I mean,
first party character.
Min Min and Sephiroth are great characters. It's just, I can't stand that Minecraft Steve got it. I just can't. I'll take that to my grave. It's like, here lies Todd. He's still mad at Minecraft Steve. You know? Just saying. But again, Hyrule Warriors is really, really fun, and I highly recommend it. Go check out my review. And of course, I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and dear gosh, this new chapter with the new Book 4 story, which we also haven't talked about, but I'm already lost. I'm not even going to try to understand it. It's just I'm here to get orbs, get new characters, and blah, blah, blah. Like, I actually can say I got all 4 characters of the new banner. It took me a while. And
Wait, for the Christmas banner?
No, not the Christmas banner. The one with Ducel and Floor Spar.
Yeah. Oh, the prior
one.
I'll go prior.
Yeah, I got all 4 characters of that one. I don't care about the Christmas banner. I mean, I agree with you that Altina Sanaki was inspired duo
yes.
choice. Like, that made beautiful sense. They even said time crossed duo. I'm like, that's perfect. She's the descendant. That's the founder. Love it. So, like, I got that one. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And I did try and go for her, but I didn't get it. But I'm just building up orbs now. I'm just enjoying the moment. But I don't understand the story. It's like, we're 2 chapters in, and I don't understand it. How is this possible?
I got all the way up to 300 some orbs for the first time, like,
wow.
A week ago.
Oh,
and then I have such bad impulse control. It's really sad because, like, I was like, I'm just going to summon one time. I forget what banner I was summoning on. I think it was the Sacred Stones banner. And, like, I just, now I'm down to, like, 12 or so. I did summon on the Christmas one, too.
Yeah.
I got them all, so that was nice.
No,
I wasted more trying to get a regular Hilda because I don't have her and I love Hilda. But Christmas Hilda I did get, so that was nice.
I'm not ashamed to say that for the Sacred Stones banner, I literally went full tilt to try and get them all. I just really did. And I got the new character from Book 4 because of, you know, beating the chapter, so that was easy.
Yeah,
but getting the other 3, I'm like sinking orb after orb after orb. And I finally get the Floor Spar at 5-star, and I'm like, great! And so I start trying to get Ducel, and who's my first summon? Floor Spar! Again! Like, it took me how long to get you twice in two summons, and I swear, even though it states that there's like hundreds of characters, and I can attest to that because I have over 350, I get like the same character summoned like over and over again. How is that possible? That doesn't make sense. Like, I'm getting, you know, like Oberos and Ogmas like dual times, and it's just like 2-3 times in a row. I'm like, how is that possible? There's so many characters out there, and you're like, I'm getting the same one over and over again. That just doesn't seem possible. I'm in full get back my orbs mode. I'm at like 150 right now, so just like I gotta keep going.
right, and like, yeah, I'm currently sitting at like nearly 180, and yeah, just a heads up as well, because I believe, if I recall on the calendar, the next legendary banner is going to be coming, I believe, right before Christmas, so yeah, might as well save up your orbs right now.
Nice. Alright, well, it is time for the news. And it's been a smaller week, but still very fun, and we got some good things to talk about. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And I want to continue talking about Sephiroth first, because, yeah, obviously. Let's get to the most important part of the video from Sakurai. We have a shirtless Sephiroth. Alright, like, this was for all the ladies. Right, I mean, we all know that Cloud is the high husbando, but, you know, shirtless Sephiroth has got to be up there. All right, come on.
That much is obvious.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, did we need a shirtless Sephiroth? The answer is an emphatic yes. Yes.
To be fair,
yes,
we also got a topless Shulk as well. So just FYI.
Oh, that's right, we did, because they put him in the beachwear.
Mm-hmm,
that's not awkward
mm-hmm.
at all. Yeah. How old is Shulk? I mean, do we have a definitive age for Shulk?
Yeah, I think he's like 17. I want to say he's like 17.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all, showing a 17-year-old in his shorts in a fighting game. Just saying.
All right, he's 18. He's officially 18.
Okay,
I can
live with that. I can live with that.
It's...
But anyway, oh, I kid, though. What I really want to talk about is that in the 37-minute presentation that Sakurai did, the details that he's talking about with Sephiroth and the level and even the music, like Tyler talked about it earlier, but we were wondering why we only got 2 music tracks when Cloud came around. Like, that didn't really make sense for a big crossover like Cloud and Smash Brothers. And then here we are with Sephiroth, we get 9 songs, and now we know why. It's copyright issues. Again, and like, it's really complicated apparently, and I can honestly say I had no idea it was this complicated for Final Fantasy games. So we should be lucky we got them 9 songs, okay?
I mean, yeah. To be fair, like, again, Final Fantasy and Square Enix has a big history. And, of course, like, with the many spinoffs from Dissidia to the RPG to the, like, heck, even other spinoff titles and mobile games, like, you, just, like, the amount of companies that share these licenses is just, it's crazy. So, yeah, I gotta give props to Sakurai, like, trying to even manage to get these licenses from Square Enix themselves or the other companies that share these music. So, it's just, like, it's quite a feat, to say the least. So, yeah, props to you, Daddy Sakurai.
But, I didn't watch the Minecraft Steve one for obvious reasons, but I watched the Sephiroth one, and I'm just like, he's just going into such detail, like, the sword swings, and, like, you know, here's where you gotta, you know, hit the damage to get the most, and, you know, like, the three kinds of flares, and I honestly would love to just sit with Sakurai, and as we are planning out the character of Wolf Link and Midna, because obviously, I would like to go, like, what is your process of trying to, you know, get the character to do all these attacks, because, you know, you think about the special attacks, those are kind of easy, because it's like, okay, you know, what makes sense for this character, you know, a sword slash, you know, the Giga Flare, and blah blah blah, but, like, then it's like, you know, what's your mid-air forward attack, what's your mid-air behind attack, what's your mid-air down attack, like, he has to think of so much and make it both a balanced character and a fun character to play as. Like, and then there's, like, the little details, like, oh, he can stick the sword in the side of the stage and just hang there for a second to give you a chance to bounce back up. That's creative. So, the detail, like, there is a reason we call him Daddy Sakurai, because he's just so good at what he does, all right?
Yeah, it's just, like, the amount of love he put for this character. And, of course, like, again, like with many reactions, he's an Abbott Children fan and just, like, taking source material from Abbott Children, Dissidia, just all these things. And, of course, the original game itself is just, like, again, he does his research. He does, like, going to the movesets, the lore, like, heck, even to just the simple appearances and details of his hair or even the sword. The fact that we even got the alternate version of Omni Slash for Cloud come in later on in the 22nd is just, like, yeah, again, he does his homework. He does his homework very well. So that much.
And, like, Supernova. So. Like, oh, this could have just been, like, this massive fireball of death. But, no, it's fireball of death and the status effects, which is from Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's just, it's the little details. He kills it every time. And speaking of killing it, actually, go ahead, Tyler. I'll wait for the joke later.
No. Well, yeah, you know what? I guess it will go and let you rebound and get the joke ready again. I loved the fact that he released Sephiroth as an early edition boss. I totally agree with what he said. Like, when he said it to something, it feels like, you know, we release these characters and there's a lot of hype around it, and then it's just kind of like, you know? And this was such a cool way to just generate even more buzz and to make the addition of this character that much more special. Like, he just knocked it out of the park. I love that he thought to do this, even though it's going to be a thing that exists for 6 days, but I'm going to remember it. Like, this was a really cool idea, and I hope that he continues to do creative things like this in the future. I mean, we have 3 characters to go. I think this one's going to be hard to beat, but maybe he'll have something else.
Right. Like, again, the way he introduced, like, again, his this arcade mode, and of course, naturally introduced the Sephiroth challenge, which is, again, great nod to Sephiroth's last boss status. It's just like, okay, this is something that pays a lot of tribute and service to the character. And, of course, naturally, facing him, completing it in very hard mode, you actually get to see that Final Fantasy VII logo, which is like, again, Sakurai, you really do give a lot of tribute to the original license. So, yeah. And, of course, naturally, if you beat the mode, you unlock the character instead of waiting for the 22nd public release. So that's always the nice thing. And everyone's been clamoring on the internet right now. So, yeah.
That victory screen.
Oh, my God. Yes. 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 Yes.
I mean, you know what it kind of reminds me of is the Joker victory screen. Because that's right out of Persona 5. So why not do the legendary Sephiroth fire scene as his walk-off? I mean, come on!
Yeah, it's sweet. It looked amazing. And he has a multiple, and they're all similarly great. Yes, I always love when the character has his own, and say, they don't use the Final Fantasy song, they use the One-Winged Angel. Like, it's beautiful. Just very exciting.
his own unique ending. His own unique ending is just like, yeah, you know that is Sephiroth right then and there. It's just amazing. Yeah.
We were talking about this in the Discord, but the name, the Sephiroth Challenge, kind of sounds like a YouTube or like social media thing. And we were like, what does it actually mean? And I'm like, it's a video of how menacingly you can say, "I will never be a memory." You know.
Yeah,
I would do that. You sound like I would.
I mean, for a second there, you actually sound like Castiel from Supernatural.
Oh, I wasn't going for Sephiroth, but yes, Dean, I will never be a memory. Dean, what are you doing? Dean, where's the pie? Where is the pie, Dean? I don't get that reference.
I missed that show. But and also, like, we'll forget one important thing as well. In the beginning of the video, the Mii costumes.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that next, because we have 5 new Mii costumes, 4 from Final Fantasy. We have Aerith, Tifa, Barret, and the Chocobo. And then from Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars, it's Geno! It's Geno! Or as Tyler liked to call it on Twitter, Geno!
That was so bad, but I had to post it.
I clapped. That was good. I knew you would appreciate it. If I had time, I would have done that pun. So you can be glad that I approve of your pun.
I figured the listeners would think it was you who tweeted that one, because I really channeled my inner Todd on that.
It was good. Yeah, but yes, it is now confirmed that Geno will not be in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and the fan base is not happy. I'm sorry, but like, this was the worst way to do it, Sakurai. I'm sorry. I know why you did it, because it's a Square Enix thing. I get it, but this was a bad time. This was the wrong time.
Now you know how it feels like when Travis Cook was as a Mii costume for me.
I do now, actually, because I'm like, I was like, oh, Legend of the Seven Stars. Wait a minute. Oh, no. And then there's Geno. I'm like, no, Geno.
So many people wanted Geno and nope, got demoted as a Mii costume.
I kind of thought Geno was going to make it first, but that was purely, like, when you think about it objectively, he shouldn't make it. I mean, he's in one game as, like, a character who has, like, 4 or 5 line. Like, I get it. He's like a deep cut, cool character that a lot of people like, but I get it. I'm not upset that he's not in it at all. Like, he would have been nice if he was in it, but I'm not bummed at all.
Hater.
I sort of, I wanted him in, but thought about it after I saw the Mii costume, and I was like, nah, I mean, he shouldn't have been in. Like,
they just
added Sephiroth. Like, there's 900 characters who are bigger characters.
I acknowledge that it would have had to have been, okay, if we're talking about this, like, Square Enix, you know, who's going to be next, the only 3 candidates were Geno, Sephiroth, and Sora. All right, like, those were it. And we all acknowledged more than likely that because of Sephiroth being here, that Sora wasn't going to be here, because that would have been, another sword user, even a unique one, but still, and that would have been a little too much for a second DLC pack that we know is going to be the end of the road. But with Geno, a lot of people wanted him, not just because of Mario and the 7 Stars, but he would have been a different character. He would have had, you know, his lasers and his ninja stars and everything that would have made him a different character versus just another sword fighter. And yes, obviously, Sephiroth is more than just that. But he deserves to be in. Like, he is like that, what do you want to call it? Like that cult classic character. You know, the one that everyone knows and few people have actually played as him. But you know Geno enough. It's like, yeah, let's get Geno in there. We need Geno, man. So.
Yeah, but you know Geno because you know that the people on Twitter want Geno in Smash. Like, that's the reason most people know Geno. I get it. Like, you're right. It would be cool if he was in. I would not have been opposed. I would have been probably really excited when they announced him, not gonna lie. But I don't know. The character that needs to be in now, that just absolutely needs to, there's one series that has been in Smash for a while that is just... It is so underrepresented, and it's weird that it's underrepresented given the relationship, and that is the Sonic series. I mean, Sonic is the only character in the game. He has, like, I guess 2 stages, that's fine. But they haven't updated his music in a minute. Like, they should be in this game.
Yeah,
Dr. Eggman should be in. If they're doing villains, like, it's crazy that there hasn't been another Sonic character in 10 years. I'm...
Sure.
It didn't hit me until Sephiroth, and I was like, okay, this is weird now that Eggman's not in.
I honestly would bet, we got three more characters to go. I would bet that we get a Sonic character, just like you said, because we have not had a new addition since Sonic and Brawl, which was obviously earth-shattering. But, and I can even tell you the exact date of when he came, October 10th, 2007. But, I feel it wouldn't be Eggman. I feel they would either do Knuckles or Tails. Because Knuckles is, you know, your brawler and, you know, super fan favorite, and then Tails is Tails. Tails is the other, is the most... arguably the most important Sonic character outside of Sonic. And I'm sorry, Eggman, but Tails has game. I mean, and again, he would be a very different kind of character because of, like, his blaster and his flying ability and his own little ring that he uses. But either way...
I would love Tails, for sure.
Yeah, Knuckles, Tails, or Eggman, either way, it's good. I would bet. I would honestly... I would have bet a Square Enix character would get into the DLC. I will bet that one of the final three is a Sonic character. So you have hope, at least, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Unlike
I do have hope. The Triforce Tie guarantee is...
Oh, and it's not a guarantee, but I'm not that foolish, because I wouldn't have picked Sephiroth. I really thought they would have gone Sora or Geno. But, and definitely not Minecraft Steve. Moving on. But I just... It seems right. Because we don't know when this next Smash Brothers game is going to be, so why not give Sonic some backup, okay? I mean, he's right there. He can go fast, but he needs some help every once in a while, okay?
100%.
All right, let's move on to Switch. This is a story I've been waiting to talk about for 2 weeks, because if you recall, in October, we revealed a story that stated that the Nintendo Switch in the U.S. has been the top-selling console for 23 straight months, going into including October 2020. And so everyone's question was, would they be able to do it in November? And everyone, including Will and Tyler, were saying no because of the Xbox Series X, stupid name, and the PS5 launching. And I'm just like, I just feel that with Black Friday, with the holidays, and with the kind of more reserved launch that they were doing, that the Switch would prevail. And I was right. That's why I'm the host. Because the NPD numbers for the U.S. came out, and between the Switch and the Switch... I put Switch lit. I mean, the Switch is lit, but I meant light. My bad. The console sold 1.35 million units during the month of October in the United States, which was more than the Xbox and PS5 releases. So they are now at 2 solid years of dominance in the U.S. Boom. And what does that say about the PS5?
You said
Xbox
October,
sales?
Right? You said you meant November, right? I think
you said
November.
October. Yeah,
okay,
November.
Cool. I thought you said October. For
no,
some
they did 1.35 in November, whole
okay,
month.
Yeah.
And then like they won October by a landslide, but like
this was
big one, and they beat that 1.35 million was more than the Xbox and the PS launches, which honestly I'm actually kind of surprised at, because you'd think that between the U.S. just alone, they would have gotten like closer to 2 million.
Yeah. No, that's very surprising. I mean, issues have been a factor for sure. And I don't know if Nintendo was selling out too. I wonder if they were also having that same issue. But yes, 2 years is very exciting. And we were wondering it. And I am quite glad, as a Nintendo attire fan, supporter, wearer, that I was wrong on this one. Because, you know, it's good for Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, like, what do we? I want to dive into a little more. Like, what do? Why did this happen?
Hmm.
Like, why? Why were the Xbox and PS sales so low? I mean, again, less than 1.35. All right, it's not even 1.5. It's 1.35 million all month. They had the time.
I'd have to think it's supply. I'd have to think it was supply. That's my best guess. The Xbox doesn't have a lot of good games to start. Like, I get PlayStation's lineup is really good. There's a lot of games: Demon's Souls, Spider-Man, Sackboy. Yeah. Like, that's a strong launch lineup. It's a very strong launch lineup with other games coming. So that one is definitely more surprising to me. I don't know if, and maybe we'll find out that the price points are too high and people aren't going there, but for right now, just based on what we know, I would say it's supply issues.
Yeah. Like, Sony, they're still having trouble. We're going to, like, getting out PS5s for everyone. I mean, heck, I tried the online queue. I couldn't get in. Like, yes, PS5s were sold out for the day. It's just, like, like I'm not sure if they're like really like forecasting how much they should make and not like I don't know. Perhaps like it's a safer option not putting too much of supply, and of course naturally with the world situation as it is. But yeah, if Sony wanted to like really make try to take the market, like probably should have like put a bit more than usual. Maybe just like sure it was a risk, but maybe it would have paid off that way. But I don't know. Again, the whole financial risk of like keeping that supply up, and of course with all these factors to consider, is just like yeah, maybe that's what Sony. That's the Sony's downfall, and of course Microsoft Series X is just like, well, no one really cares about them, sadly. So it's I think that's the reason why Nintendo, again, even with everything that's been happening, Nintendo has been getting steady supply and just being readily available, to say the least.
I also think Nintendo had a good month in terms of content. Like, I mean, a Zelda game that was really well reviewed, surprisingly well reviewed, in my opinion. And the Switch Lite also. The Switch Lite has really done a nice job for them. The $200 price point, I think, is a difference maker for a lot of people. I mean, I just think back to the 3DS when they cut its price down to, I think it was $200. The sales skyrocketed there. So that seems like a magic number of sorts for consumers to want to buy your device.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's a lot of things, and obviously the pandemic, because like they usually like Xbox and Sony would have these big, massive release parties in like New York and LA and all of that, and they can't do that, and they were only doing online sales. So add that to the launching and money being tight. It was just a thing that they couldn't get 1.5 million. Now, this obviously does not mean they're failures. Obviously, not even close. Like this is way too early to judge, but definitely a more low-key opening for the next console generation. I mean, the Switch got lucky that they released 3 years ago in March, or almost 4 years ago now. So,
Yeah.
world we live
We
in.
have a little bit of breaking news real quick
Oh,
here.
exciting!
Breaking news. This one's actually real too. It's not one of my stupid breaking news things.
It would have been a little bit random if it wasn't.
Tune in on December 18th at 3 p.m. Pacific time for a special Super Nintendo World Direct live stream. We'll spend roughly 15 minutes showing just some of whatever the company that's building Super Nintendo World's new area. No new game content will be featured. So on the 18th, they are showing off Super Nintendo World to the masses.
I know.
Yes, in Universal Studios Japan. Yes.
Yeah, which will, as we noted, I think 2 weeks ago, is opening in February of next year. So, yeah, that's cool. That's pretty cool, and I'm very happy that they said no new gaming content, because everybody would have been like, well, if we're as long as you're here, let's show you one more thing. No, don't do that.
Yeah, that's like again, Nintendo pretty much knows, like, no, we're not showing anything else new, it's just this, move along.
I honestly, like, from the bottom of my heart, love the people who, even though they know there's not going to be something new, still go and comment. That's it? No Smash?
Yeah,
Question
exactly. It's
mark.
like, because they would have been like, oh, they revealed Sephiroth today. Let's see who they're gonna reveal tomorrow. It's like, no, we're just doing the theme park. You monsters! No, not really. So.
And I'm honestly very curious about to see what other rides they're gonna show up. Again, we've seen the Mario Kart, we've seen the Bowser statue. Like, what else is gonna show up? Besides, like, I know they said about the whole AR augmented reality thing. So I'm curious to see what they present for tomorrow at the time of recording.
And was that on Twitter, Tyler, that you saw that?
Yeah, that was on Twitter.
That's fine. I'll either post about it tomorrow, or I'll just write up about the direct when it airs. No worries. All right, moving on to Super Mario 3D All-Stars, because there was a big question that many of us have been asking, and that is, why is it that this game, and as we would find out, the Game and Watch Super Mario Brothers and the Mario Kart Home Circuit, why are those tied to a limited release window? Especially, which as we found out, the game of Super Mario 3D All-Stars has just been doing incredibly in the US, selling millions, and it just doesn't make sense that they would do this as a limited thing where this could clearly be an evergreen. Well, Bowser, I'm sorry, Doug Bowser, my bad, but Doug Bowser noted in an interview with Polygon, he goes, quote, "Yeah, I think I use a sample word, celebration. It's just this is a celebration of Mario's 35th anniversary, and we wanted to celebrate in unique different ways, and we've done that through games like Super Mario 3D All-Stars, or we will be doing that through the future releases such as Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. And then we've done releases like the Game & Watch, Super Mario Brothers, or Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. There are various ways that we are celebrating the 35th, and with some of these titles, we felt it was an opportunity to release them for a limited period of time. They have done very, very well. Super Mario 3D All-Stars has sold over 2.6 million units in the U.S. alone. Clearly, consumers have been able to jump in and enjoy that, and it's not a strategy we're going to be using widely, but it's one we thought was very unique for the actual anniversary. So, I guess for Bowser, he and Nintendo are just like, let's just do this limited release, get it out there, and then be done with it. I get the idea. Not sure about whether that was actually the right strategy.
Like, I guess the from what I can interpret from Doug Bowser's saying is just like, obviously, like, sure, in the perspective of being an evergreen thing, of course, like, obviously, you're not going to make them all forever. I mean, same thing with Amiibos. You're not going to make them, like, 24-7 for, like, 3 years. It's like, that's just, like, financial waste. So just put it at a separate period of time, like, for some amount of time, and just, like, release it, and then, like, just see how it is, how it goes. And, like, so maybe just in a way, it, since it is financially responsible to, like, get as much profit as it can, as well, like, trying to cut losses. So just make sure, of course, there's the whole fear of missing out, which is like a very bad mentality, to say the least. But again, it is a legit business strategy to, like, yeah, just once we have it, you can have it right now, but once it's gone, it's gone. And yeah, unfortunately, that business strategy unfortunately does work. So yeah, again, the fear of missing out, like, jump on it or lose it forever. Again, it's kind of a thing that happens quite a lot in the business world, sadly.
I'm not totally sure. I've seen a lot of takes that are like, look how good these games did. They're going to keep doing this because of this. And like Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon was also like at the top of the eShop
for a while.
And they're like, see, these limited time releases do really, really well. But I don't know if that's actually true. Like, maybe it boosts pre-orders because you're like, oh, I don't want to forget, let me get this. But I mean, 6 months is like a lot. I think it's honestly, I think it's stupid for Nintendo to be taking these games away. I think they would have legs if they just let them continue to run. But the numbers weren't like eye-popping. They were what I would expect for a Mario game. They were great numbers, but I mean, the Switch is super high selling. It was what it matched my expectations. I wouldn't say it necessarily exceeded them. And yeah, I don't know. I do believe Doug Bowser when he says it might not. It's not necessarily something they're going to always do. I don't think he's lying there.
I don't know. There's just a lot. I understand it from a certain perspective, but I will always, always remember the words of Satoru Iwata when he said he loved the idea of evergreen titles. Titles that'll sell 8 years after they're releasing in good numbers. And ironically, one of the greatest evergreen titles is Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm like, that thing's been going since 2013 and it's still a top 20 selling title. You can't tell me that this wouldn't happen with Mario. All right? And like we said, it's 2.5 million just in the US. That's not including all around the world. And with new people getting Switches, they're going to get Odyssey, they're going to get Mario Maker, they might get the U Deluxe version, and they're probably going to get 3D All-Stars. And they're limiting them, and they're cutting out profit. That's what really gets me. They're usually all about the money. It's Prince money. Why? I don't know.
Nintendo always has made decisions that's been questioned about, say, in recent days, so who knows? Who knows?
All right, so Indie World, yeah, there was a brand new Nintendo Indie World showcase, and they actually had some rather interesting titles. I'm not gonna lie,
they did. I watched it while we were recording because I didn't watch it beforehand.
Yeah, better late than never. So I think the ones that really got me were I'm gonna highlight three games. The first is Tunshe, I think it was called. It's a hand-drawn action RPG kind of thing made from a team in Lima, Peru, actually, and it's this beautifully drawn and animated game about, you know, fighting in the Amazon rainforest. And it's just like it's one of those games that you're like, this is visually striking and I would want to go and check that out. The next game I want to highlight is the one from Yacht Club Games, Cyber Shadow.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, another very old school esque kind of game, and one that I'm sure we all might play eventually because it just looks fast and furious and beautiful in its 8-bit glory. And then the third one is a little game. I don't know if you've actually heard of it. It's called Among Us.
Oh, no. Tell me more.
You don't know about Among Us? That's very sus, Tyler. It's very sus.
Is that the game that Pokemon and AOC play?
Yeah, that's the one that AOC
played. Alexandra Pochis actually did on stream, yes.
Can we just note that you said, is that AOC? And I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly what she plays. Like, that's how big she's gotten. Just her initials are legendary. Okay, that's like just saying. But yes, Among Us is on the Switch right now. So if you've been waiting to switch it up with your sus friends, this is your chance. And I honestly am going to challenge Tyler and Will, and we'll get some of our Outer Haven crew, hopefully. And I say we need to play Among Us together.
And I just want to give you a quick info as well, because also recently as well for the Switch, it is a cross-system play as well. So you can actually play via PC, Switch, or on mobile phones. So you guys can play with all different systems. And just as well, just a quick heads up, this thing is $5 on the eShop. And as well, you do need a Nintendo Online subscription service to play this game. Just FYI right there. And I don't know, I have been seeing some talk on the internet, and of course actually some people are just like a little bit freaking out over, like, yes, have to pay $5, but again, that's the same price as the Steam version, and of course naturally paying with the Nintendo Online service, which is like $20 more, which unfortunately some people are making some noise about it. But again,
it's stupid. I mean, don't get me wrong, if this was like $10, all right, like if it was the most expensive version, then I could get it. And yeah, you can get download for free on your phone, but it's more fun on the computer where you can like do like Discord or Skype with your friends and, you know, debate who's it. And you can do the same thing with Switch. And now with the Switch, you can actually play it on the go on a bigger screen. So $5 is fine. I mean, when they released it on the phone, they weren't expecting this to happen. All right, this is a 2018 game that blew up in 2020. That's just how it goes sometimes, okay? So $5 is $5. Come on.
I don't have an issue with the $5. The $5 is fine. They deserve the money. But I have an issue with the Nintendo Switch Online requirement. That, to me, is a little odd. I mean, that's an unnecessary gateway. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of kids who buy this not realizing. I'm sure there's disclaimers, but, you know, kids, I don't know if they'll even know what it means. Or read it. I'm sure they know what it means, but read it is more to the point. That to me is a problem, especially when they've waived it. I think for Fortnite, you don't have to have Nintendo Switch Online. Like, very odd to me that is a thing.
Yeah, I did not know about that for Fortnite. So if that's true, then yeah, that's a little sus.
It is. I also want to highlight Super Meat Boy Forever. That looked fun.
Oh, yes.
It looked
like a
Celeste, like, you know, hardcore, what's it called? I'm blanking on the type of performer. You're supposed to die a ridiculous amount of times. But yeah, that looked fun as well. And actually, I agree with you, Todd. The three that you highlighted were three that stood out to me. Spelunky, both Spelunkies were also pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, Spelunky too. Yeah.
So, but that was about it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually, when you did like the whole breaking announcement, I was really like, oh my gosh, are we about to get a new Nintendo Direct, and it's like, yeah, but it's like the theme park one. I'm like, oh, okay. So, because I was hoping that this Indie World was indicating that there was going to be another big Nintendo Direct, like just to end the year and give us hope for what's coming, and nope, not yet. It still could come, but it's unlikely. Let's be honest here. So. All right. And finally, in our news segment, we have Moon Studios, who, of course, is the team behind Ori and the Blind Forest and Will of the Wisps. And that's what a word. Wisps. Anyway, but they were talking about why they worked so hard on the Switch port, because it runs at 60 frames per second. It looks beautiful. And for co-founder Ganaldi Karal, he said, quote, "I think all in all, the Switch port took about around 3.5 months to complete, and it was quite an intense effort on our team's part. The heavy-duty optimization work that we had put in earlier for the Xbox platform patches definitely helped to get a head start on the Switch port. That being said, when we started, we were only hitting 24 FPS, even with heavily compromised visuals, which were a far cry from our goal. As usual, game development is tough, and being able to make a game like Will of the Wisps on really shine on Switch required taking quite a few risks and making heavy changes in order to be able to achieve the visual quality we felt Ori deserved on that platform. Luckily, those risks really paid off and really came together at the end. And the sales have, end quote, and apparently sales have been doing really, really good. And people really love it on the Switch, which I've heard wonderful things. But, like, this is the dedication that we need from game developers. Because how many ports have we seen just be phoned in? All right? And Panic Button did another thing about 2 weeks ago about Doom Eternal and why that took so long. But they wanted to make sure it played and looked as good as it could on the Switch. And
I've heard good things about it, too.
Yeah?
It said it's, like, it looks bad at, like, when you're not moving, but in motion, it looks great, and that's what really matters in that game.
Yeah, and so, like, and we're going to be talking about this in our main event, but, like, this, I feel, is the true job of the game developers, is it might take a little longer, it may make you have to rethink how to structure your game, but when it works, you're going to say, like, we did something good. Because they could have left it at 24. They could have gone to 30 and said, this is all we can do. But they made sure the Will of the Wisps was at 60 frames per second. They didn't have to do that. But they did, because they wanted it to work good on the Switch, and it paid off. So, like, that's... I give you kudos, Moon Studios. And I nominate Ori for Super Smash Brothers. All right?
I have some more breaking news.
Oh, here we go.
Breaking news.
Do it.
The latest hashtag death battle has reached 1 million views. Uh-huh. If you haven't seen it yet, uh-huh, go watch it. From Guardians Comic, tweeting during the podcast.
Oh, really?
Sir.
And where did you,
sir,
where did you find,
sir,
where did you,
sir,
find
explain
that,
yourself,
that breaking news, Tyler? I believe you were on Twitter.
Sir, this is not about me. Sir,
and
this is not about
you,
me. This is about you.
Weren't you watching the Indie World Showcase while I was,
sir,
talking?
Sir, sir, I need you to answer the question, sir. This is about you. This is not about me.
Tyler, don't be such a twitty.
Boy.
Anyway. But yes, if you do want to go watch the latest death battle of Sanji versus...
You know what?
Rock
I watched
Lee,
it. I did watch this one, actually. I did. My younger brother loves One Piece, and I watched
oh,
it.
Oh, really?
I was happy with the outcome for him. He likes Naruto, yeah, too, but...
And then the season finale, which will be a week from Monday, is Broly from Dragon Ball Z Super. Technically, it's Dragon Ball in general, but versus Hulk. Which is already causing a lot of problems in the fan base. Because it's like, it's anime OP-ness versus comic OP-ness. And, yeah, it's a thing. So, anyway, but getting back to actual Nintendo stuff, let's head to our main event, because this one's, oh boy, this is going to be something. As you all know, in the last, what was it, week? It came out like last week, right?
Yeah.
In the last week, a major, highly anticipated title came out in the form of Cyberpunk 2077, the game from CD Projekt Red, the team behind the Witcher franchise, which, you know, blew everybody away, especially Wild Hunt. And everybody was excited for this game. Everybody knew this was going to be, like, you know, a graphical revolution. It was going to be, you know, a really unique kind of RPG and blah, 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 and hyped it up for months and months and years and years. It comes out. And depending on what you played it on, you either got an okay experience or a crap experience. If you were on a current-gen system like the PS4 or the Xbox, you had a terrible experience. If you had a PS5 or Xbox Series X, you had an okay experience. If you had a PC hyped up and jacked up to infinity, you actually got to play the game as intended. And what this led was to a cataclysmic amount of backlash, including refunds that did happen, didn't happen, happened again, and now, which is kind of breaking news, Sony has pulled Cyberpunk 2077 from their game store because it is so dang broken. And we're going to get into it a little deeper, but this is a recurring thread of this year. Highly anticipated games coming out and being bugged to high heaven and us expecting to just enjoy it. Isn't that not how gaming is supposed to work? We're going to break this down in a Nintendo discussion. So who wants to go first on this? Because this is a deep issue.
Yeah, this was pretty major. Go ahead, Will. It sounds like you want to go first. If you do that laugh, that means you want to go first. So
it's just kind of really interesting to say the least, because again, how CD Projekt Red has been hyping up this game for so many years. Again, like since from the success of the Witcher games, like even I played it, my brother loved the heck out of it. And ever since the Netflix show, like it's just like they had a lot of things going for it, and the way they were just hyping up this game, of course, with the introduction of Keanu Reeves in this game, I mean, yeah, expectations were through the roof. So, like, now after all these, after the delays, and delays after now, it's just like, okay, there's some chance of worry right there, and now it's finally released it, and unfortunately, fears have come true, and it's just like the only way you can actually can actually even play this game is on PC. There is no way, in fact, you can play it on last-gen consoles of PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, sorry. And just like, fair, you can play it on PS5 and Xbox Series X, but those things are playing on the backward version until they patch it up. It's just like, we have reported this entire issue on the Outer Haven. It's just like there was no transparency from CD Projekt Red. Like, they apologized, but one, they said they didn't show off anything of the last-gen consoles. Like, no video footage, no optimization, nothing about it. So, and I can't help but, and a lot of people saying, like, they knew that it's going to run horrible, and yet they still release it. It's just, yeah, CD Projekt Red, you done goofed hard.
It feels like in 2020, the gaming companies have all just been trying to one-up each other for who can be the worst company. Like, who can do the scummiest thing? Like, can Nintendo, is it Nintendo with taking down the Super Smash Melee and whatever the online thing that the fans had created, and then canceling the Splatoon tournament because the Splatoon players were putting hashtags amen. That was pretty scummy. Was it EA releasing Madden 2016 for the fifth year in a row? Like, that was pretty scummy too. But I think this one takes the cake. I think CD Projekt Red, what they did here is just, it's the peak scumminess. And like, it also, well, I'll get to that point later because they deserve all the blame right now. Brian Altano of IGN called this out a week before it happened. He was like, it's a little disturbing that we have not seen this game on anything but PC. Like, it's odd that they're hiding this from us. They 100%, this game is, Sonic 06 looks like a masterpiece compared to this. It's unplayable. It's unplayable. It doesn't work. Like, it, and they released it for what I assume $60, like,
yes,
knowing this, and they took advantage of the customers. And then they thought, well, you cannot, they released this apology. Like, you cannot tell me that they didn't have that apology already written. They knew what was going to happen the whole way. And if one didn't believe that apology, it's ridiculous. They, oh, we'll refund your game, fully knowing that not everybody was going to be putting in a refund. I would love to see the percentage of people who asked for a refund, because it's unthinkable. It takes me back to the way Nintendo used to make games, you know, and it actually just reminds me of why Sony delisted it.
Yes, just today.
Nintendo would always put the Nintendo seal of quality on that they were publishing. Like, this is a good game. You know what you're getting. You buy a game for a Nintendo system, it's got to be good. And that's why I applaud Sony for taking this down. Because even though I see some people saying this is a bit extreme, even though people might want it. Like, no, this is a reputation thing. This is they are protecting the customer here. What Sony did in taking it down is exactly what I would like. Nintendo would have never released this in the 90s. They would have never let this get on their systems. But that was 100% the right step to take. And yeah, I laugh because I think if anybody check the NEP page and see the likes, like, I like so many of these articles taking them down because they deserve it. They don't deserve it. I mean, anybody defending them, it makes me want to pull my hair out.
Because even Sony knew, like, this thing was a broken product. Like, on PS4, it was you cannot even play the game. Like, I was actually close to actually want to get it, but and thankfully I held up and now see all these reviews, and I knew like it would definitely not hold up on the last gen consoles. And again, this thing is only meant for PC. I mean, if they optimize for PS5, okay, maybe down the line they will get it. But as of right now, as it is, it's just like, yeah, again, CD Projekt Red was not transparent about like how it was going to be running on last-gen consoles. When, of course, like, why don't you get a PC? Well, again, not many of us are running on high-end consoles. And of course, like, getting RTX 3090s is video graphics card is just like, yeah, we're not made of money. And sure, like, we want to try to get PCs, perhaps. But unfortunately, not many of us are, like, want to go play on PCs. We already have like consoles for the most part, just because it is just easy set. Like, again, just plug it, play it, and then we're good. So yeah, just for CD Projekt Red not showing last gen console performances or any of that sort, is just like, yeah, CD, you done goofed so hard. It's just, yeah, you cannot defend them. You cannot defend them on this case.
What really gets me about this is that this wasn't a case of, oh, they should have delayed it, you know, because they haven't delayed it before. They delayed it a lot. Just in this year, they've delayed it like, what, 3-4 times? Because it was supposed to come out in April, which was supposed to be like the big, you know, release day of that and Final Fantasy and blah, blah, blah. And then it got pushed back to, I think, September, then November, and then, hey, we need 3 extra weeks. And we're like, yeah, okay. So they pushed back to December. They clearly needed to push this back till 2021. And they didn't. They just said, hey, this game is good. We're ready. We're gold. Day one patch. Yeah, fine. Whatever. We're there. And they still released it. And this is the result. I, thankfully, did not have a system to play this game on. And my PC is far from high end, so I wouldn't even have risked it on this. But seriously, my PC is crap. But I'm hearing things like, I have a friend, his name's Kyle, and he was really hyped for this game, and he had his system, I think he has a PS4, he has his system ready, and he's ready to go, and he's playing, and he's like, what is this game? Like, and I'm seeing like the still shots of the character models of, you know, them being incredibly bland, and like, wait a minute, this wasn't what was in the trailers, this wasn't in like the cinematic movies and everything. And it's like, no, you have to have it on this platform to really get it. You have to have a high-end PC. And I'm like, that's not how it's supposed to work. And if this was a one-off, yeah, the developer screwed us over, I would have honestly kind of given it a pass. Because we know that CD Projekt Red are quality game developers because of the Witcher franchise and everything. You know, they were allowed a misstep. But here's the thing. And I think Tyler alluded to it earlier. This isn't the first time that a developer has done this to us. Just in this year, we've had two. This and Avengers, because who remembers that wonderful 1,000
bug
patch? Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah, right, yeah.
1,000 bugs. How is that possible? How? And then, and not surprisingly, Crystal Dynamics released a similar apology. You know, we have never released a game this buggy at launch, and we apologize. And I'm like, if it was that buggy at launch, should never have released it. And that was another game that was heavily delayed and anticipated for years. And, you know, you can go back to even more games like Anthem and Mass Effect Andromeda and so on and so forth. And it's like, why? Why are they so driven to just get the game out and hope nobody will notice? We're gamers! We notice! Okay? Like Tyler was joking about earlier, there are people who look at Nintendo Direct announcements and immediately start begging for things like Mother 3 and Metroid Prime 4 and everything. You know, that's our gaming culture. We notice everything. All right? YouTube videos to break down how sucky things is, or as Will lovingly posted the Maximilian Dude's reaction to Sephiroth, where he's like cussing everybody out. He's like, shut up, shut the F up, it's Sephiroth, and they're all losing their minds. Like, that's our culture. You really think we're not going to notice a bad game when it's in front of us, especially when it's a highly publicized, highly anticipated one from a beloved developer? Really?
Yeah,
or maybe this is deeper. What if they were hired to do this? Like, think about it. All right, delaying it to build up the anticipation, then just dropping the deuce right there and hoping we can't pick up the pieces. this sounds like a perfect screw job from 2020. Think about it.
It does.
It's the perfect ending punch. You know, we were getting things back up. You know, there was hope again. We had Sephiroth. We had, you know, Cobra Kai is coming out in a few weeks. And, you know, it's like this December could actually end on a good note. And then Cyberpunk, bam, right there. 2020 is like, oh, you're not out of me yet, suckus. You're not out of me yet.
Yeah, and we still have 2 more weeks left to go. We have still have to get through Christmas and New Year's Eve. So, but don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
I also think, though, this is I am generally a very pro game journalist because the crap that people say to these game journalists, it's unbelievable. They're just trying to do their jobs. And like they Kaylee Plaggy's review, the comments that she got, I so apologize if I butchered her name. I think it's right, but regardless, she was getting abuse because she gave the game a 7, and like, that's not even a bad score, one, but just the crap that she got from people who'd never played this game was unbelievable and unwarranted. And now everybody's like, oh, look at that, she was right. But more than that, seeing like all the high scores that it got and then seeing this, like IGN tried to amend it by releasing a review that gave it like an awful score for the current
that
gen
was on
consoles.
Last gen.
Those reviews, you know, it's 100% the developer's fault. It's 100% the developer's fault. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like Brian Altano saw this coming. These companies should have withheld their reviews until they saw the console version, because, you know, they could say, yeah, it's this on PC, but like the headline isn't. I want to see what its Metacritic score is, because I'm sure it's obnoxiously high, despite being a broken product.
Last I checked, it was sitting at a solid 55, so right in the middle with the user score at like 3.0. Last I checked, just a quick detail on that, because like, again, I believe from what I've heard from many of the journalists themselves, and of course I think one of ours is just like the embargo itself. Like the embargo says, do not show any gameplay from last gen consoles. Like what? Like why the heck would you write that on your embargo? It's like, really? Are you really that?
No, it's ridiculous.
And lo and behold, they want to show it. And
they should have known, though. That's the thing. The game has an 87 on PC, which is a really good score, and that's the only score that people saw when they went to the stores. Like this was not totally avoidable, but I mean, millions of players bought this. They already made their money back. What happened here is just a complete abomination. There should be lawsuits. Like there should definitely, if there are not lawsuits, I would be surprised. It just feels like this is a lawsuit thing.
And a lot of people, I think some people on Twitter as well say this, like only CD Projekt was transparent and said like, yes, at the beginning of release, PC version will be released. The other consoles will be later released to be further optimized and will be sold down the line. If they were transparent with that, perhaps they could have avoided much of this backlash, but nope, they decided with this thing. So if they said PC will release first, then okay, we'll take it for PC. And then after that, console release will be released down the line because it needs some further polish up and optimization. So if they did that, yeah, perhaps we wouldn't be as angry. But nope, they did with this. And again, unfortunately, what's happened has happened.
And there are still gamers defending us. Sorry, go ahead, Todd.
No, please, go.
No, I just say there's still gamers defending CD Projekt Red. Like they're saying it's the gamers, it's other gamers' fault that this happened because they were upset when they delayed it again. Like, no. Okay, yes, we should be more patient with delays. The company has to say, no, we trust us on this one. Like they could, CD Projekt Red could have said, look, here's some video of how it currently runs. We don't want you to play this. Like we want you to play something better. And we're working on that. Like there are so many ways around this. Anybody blaming but CD Projekt Red for the result of this game, it's crazy. And I know it's not all the devs' fault. It's really the higher-ups who forced to release. The devs, I'm sure, wanted to do more to fix it. I don't know for sure. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I'm sure some of those haters out there are going to be like, oh, you're going to say Nintendo is so perfect. No, Nintendo's not perfect. But they know when not to release a game. And I can give you the best example in the world right now for this current generation. Metroid Prime 4. Because they announced Metroid Prime 4 at the first E3 after the Switch launch. It was just a teaser image, just to show that it was coming. And then we heard nothing. Nothing. For like, what, a year? give or take. And then they go, hey, guys, we have some news. We're really sorry, but we're going to go right back to the drawing board. We're giving it back to Retro. It's going to take longer to make the game, but we wanted to make this right for you. And that's the key words. They said they wanted to make it for us. Make it for us. Make it something that we would enjoy because they knew that we've been waiting years for a true Metroid Prime title to come back to consoles. And they did not want to screw us over after all of our begging and wanting for this to be real. And they were willing to scrap everything that they had. And we don't know how far they were along the process. That's true. But they had to have enough to say, hey, we're going back to the beginning. We're changing studios. We're getting it back to Retro. They were willing to sacrifice all that work, all that paid time and energy and everything because they wanted to make the best Metroid game for us because they knew we wanted it.
Indeed,
and how about Breath of the Wild? We didn't get a true Zelda game on the Wii U, technically, because they were waiting. They were trying to make sure that Breath of the Wild was as perfect as possible. And then it was the launch title for Switch, and yes, it also came out on Wii U, but it's a Switch game. But they waited for years because they wanted to make sure that this was a Zelda game that broke all the dimensions, that broke all the barriers, and showed us what it was and what it could be. And what was it? Game of the Year. One of the best-selling games on the Switch. Like a game that inspired a Warriors title that is arguably just as good as Breath of the Wild. You know? And why?
Indeed.
Because they waited. They waited and they worked on it and they made sure it was as perfect as possible. Yes, there's flaws. I still hate lightning and the weapons breaking. But overall, the game is magnificent. It is a far cry from whatever Cyberpunk was or No Man's Sky in its beginning phases or Avengers with 1,000 bugs that they needed to fix in one patch and are still fixing, by the way. Okay, like, yeah, like, word. So, go ahead.
It's just as you said, Matt, is like Nintendo, as much like as I said, they knew that like when they screw up, they screw up. Like, certainly there are some moments like with the whole free melee and of course the Splatoon, the online things. Of course, with their business matchup, we always will criticize them. Like, if they did wrong, we will tell them that they did wrong. But when they themselves admit, like, yes, unfortunately, something has happened, we need to go with the drawing board, or something we have to screw up, when they acknowledged themselves that they have done wrong and being upfront to their fans and customers about it, then yeah, like, that is what we want from gaming companies. It's just like, can you be honest with us? Sure, it's gonna suck that we have to wait much longer, or I don't know, it's gonna test the patience, or like something that's gonna like make us inconvenient. But overall, at least they are upfront about us. At least they are honest and transparent. So that's one thing you have to give props to Nintendo, some credit to, and which in this case CD Projekt Red has not done. So that's, I agree. Like, on the whole Metro Prime 4 situation, it's just like, again, they were honest. And like, yes, it sucked. We have to wait like how many years, who knows? But at least we know, like, yeah, that's their situation. And now we have to, we can accept that fact again, because again, they were honest. At least they were that integral to informing their consumers.
The sad thing is, this is just—it's going to happen again, and it's going to happen again, and it's going to happen again, because there are so many consumers who are just going to so many loud consumers who are just going to take it, and they're going to be carrying the water for these companies. People are still doing it for Nintendo with the free melee; they're doing it for CD Projekt Red for this. Like, we have to, as consumers, we're the people, we have the power, you know? It's like the company is creating a product and we are the people that are buying it. Like, they don't exist if not for us. So it drives me crazy when people get mad at other people for criticizing companies, for criticizing games. Like, that is healthy. That is what you were supposed to do. If you don't, it could be the greatest game in the world. It could be Breath of the Wild. A lot of people didn't like Breath of the Wild. I think they're crazy for not liking Breath of the Wild. But hey, they're allowed to say, no, I didn't like that, Nintendo. I'd rather see you make a game like Wind Waker. Like, that's fine. That's totally fine. I don't understand why it's so... There's an army of people waiting to defend. It's like a sports team. Like, you know, these gaming companies aren't teams. There are companies trying to take money from you. Like sports teams, I understand a little bit. Like it's from your area and it's a fun thing to do. You don't get anything from carrying Nintendo's water. Like, no, they're going to release games whether you defend them on Twitter or not. And when they do something terrible, you should say that was terrible and there should be repercussions for it. Just seeing how much money Cyberpunk made and just the somehow split reaction to what's so clearly a cut and dry case of just complete abuse of customer trust. It is just, you can tell how mad I am.
Yeah, and it's funny you saying like the profits. I saw a report that said they lost money. Like, yeah, they might have gotten the money from the initial surge, but once the backlash hit, like their stocks took a tumble, then of course the refunds are going to be killing them, especially now that Sony has pulled their game off. So they might have had that initial rush, but they're paying for it now. And as we saw with Avengers, Square Enix lost money. Because, yeah, they sold, like, I think they said, like, 3 million copies, but they were hoping for, like, double that. They made the game for, like, $100 million, and they got, like, half that from the initial game sales. So, yeah.
You know what? You're right. So, when did the game was it? There's an article that I had seen not too long ago about them already turning a profit. But now, I guess, given everything that's happened, they have taken a huge loss. So that is nice. That is deserved.
Yep. And look, there are always going to be trolls that say a game is great when it's not, or say a game is bad when it's not. We're not talking about them specifically. We're talking about people and gamers, just as a whole, as a community, saying that this is wrong, that it was this buggy, that it is wrong that they were only showing the PC footage and not the current gen consoles. Which, let's remember something: the current gen is powerful. Okay, like that's half the point, is that the next gen was even more powerful than a generation that gave us incredibly beautiful games like, you know, Uncharted 4 or Kingdom Hearts 3 or Final Fantasy 7 Remake, which again was on the PS4 first. Or a Crackdown 3. Oh, wait, sorry, that's a bad example. I hate the Xbox. But there's so many beautiful games on these systems, and yet they're telling us that they couldn't have made it work with everything going on here. If it was so bad, we would have forgave them if it was a next-gen exclusive. We would! They say, hey, if this is such a powerful game, we can't put it on current gens. They would have understood. They would have been sad because they couldn't play on the console they have now. But they would have waited. It could have been like a next-gen launch title or close enough, and then they could have enjoyed it there. But they didn't. They tried to get as much money as possible by putting on all the systems they could, and it backfired. And gentlemen, let's be honest here. Could you imagine if they tried to put it on the Switch?
No, don't even joke. He is just like, we already know, we even as Nintendo fans know, like, the Nintendo Switch hardware isn't as powerful. So there is no way in hell... It would do well on Switch, so yeah.
I still want to picture it though, because I'd be moving my main character, and it's like, aren't these arms supposed to be like moving? Why is everybody so still as they walk? You know, because that's as good as we probably would have gotten it. But we expect more. We expect more from these game developers. And again, this is CD Projekt Red. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is still one of the most revered games of the modern and recent generations of gaming because of its depth, because of its storylines, because of its characters, because of its visuals and everything. And they were able to port that to the Switch with relative but like, you know, relative quality. You know, it was good enough and it sold like 700,000 units, so clearly they did something well. They were more willing to dedicate time to a port than Cyberpunk, apparently. How is that possible? I don't know. But it's just, we're all mad about this, even though none of us have played it, right? I mean, I was never going to get it. Will couldn't have gotten it. Tyler can get it, because he's got the PS5.
I would have got it if there was a PS5 version, probably. It's a PS4 version, but it runs better on PS5. It's still a PS4 version.
So it's not
They're
optimized.
Doing like
it's
an
optimized.
Yeah, they're doing an optimized version at some point. It was supposed to be summer. But I mean, I don't know. I doubt that I'll get it at this point. We'll have to see if they somehow redeem themselves, but it seems doubtful.
Yeah. And I know some of you out there is going to be like, wait a minute, didn't No Man's Sky get better? Yeah, after years. And that game is still reviled as overall because of what Hello Games promised everybody.
At the beginning.
At the beginning. You know, like, hey, this is going to have multiplayer. It didn't for years. Hey, you can be able to enjoy this massive universe. The universe was incredibly empty. And so on and so forth. And now we're hearing it, having it right here again with Cyberpunk. You know, all the promises, all the beautiful things that we saw that we were encouraged to do, and it's nowhere close to where we need it to be unless you have a high-end PC. And it's sad. Because we 2020 took enough from us, and it took away Cyberpunk 2. Have you no shame, 2020. Oh, and I forgot about the joke, Tyler. We were going to do in the Sephiroth section. I find it incredibly fitting that one of the Mii costumes is Aerith, so now Sephiroth can kill her again.
Sephiroth!
Hey, you know it's true. You know it's true. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you.
Really?
Are you excited for Sephiroth in Smash? And 95% of you said yes. 5% of you said no.
Haters.
It's got to be a single digit hater because that's surprising. Not surprising to see that reaction blew up the internet, but 95 is a lot. That's the most lopsided poll we've had probably ever.
Probably. So, do you want to do a poll about Cyberpunk, or do you just want to let sleeping dogs lie?
Yeah, no poll this week.
Sorry, that's fine. Yeah. So, of course, let us know what you have thought about everything that's been going on, including Sephiroth. Were you able to do the Sephiroth challenge and get the Wing Angel for yourself? And what do you think of his gameplay? Are you shocked that the Switch was able to outsell the Xbox Series X and the PS5 in November of this year? What did you like from the Indie World presentation? What games are you personally looking forward to getting or have already gotten? What are you expecting from the Super Nintendo World Direct tomorrow? Are you looking forward to hopefully going to that one day, especially if it comes to the U.S.? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!